When an idea lives far beyond its birthplace, it transforms into something legendary. Here we call this the Chief's Kingdom, the expanse of those that define the Chief's spirit. Anchored smack dab in the middle of the United States, this kingdom has no earthly boundaries. From its Midwestern roots, it grows. It covers plains and deserts, rolls over seas and mountains, and rushes right into our hearts. It spans generations, races, creeds, until it finally touches the rugged landscape of our hopes and dreams. This kingdom was not built on stone or mortar, no. It was modeled on the stories of sport and valor. And each year, new chapters are etched into this never-ending saga.
20, 15, 10, touchdown!
And although there is one special place called home, wherever you hear the thunder of red and gold, wherever a hero is remembered, or another one born, wherever the will of people give life to the game, welcome, neighbor. You're in the Chief's Kingdom.
When you walk into chapels, it's amazing that it's only been open for 25 years. Anybody who loves sports, you can walk into chapels and see a bit of your childhood. You know, Jim was a small town kid. You know, he grew up in small town Iowa. He loved sports.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get.
I grew up in Keokuk, Iowa, a town of about 17,000 people down the southeast corner of Iowa. Roger Maris played there. Gordy Coleman came through Keokuk before they got to the minors. And so you just go out and see them play all the time. And that was the only professional team we had in town. I think you just like sports or you don't like sports. I grew up liking sports. It's just part of my life. I played baseball every day in the summer, basketball every day in the winter. I didn't play football because I was too little. But I guess when I was a kid, I had the scrapbooks like a lot of kids did and put stuff in the scrapbooks.
What started out as a childhood hobby of collecting would lead Jim Chappell to his eternal lifestyle. Jim moved to Kansas City in the late 60s, but it would be nearly two decades of working odd jobs until he decided to start his own business, and it was beautiful.
I opened up as a political and sports bar.
That first day, you had Bill Grigsby, you had Governor Kit Bond, and they're doing the ribbon cutting, and Jim has remained friends with a lot of politicians over the years, and so he has a lot of friends in the political realm, but you know, the sports theme took over and has made this quite a gem.
It was going to be a part-time job, and it got to be my life. The idea was to make it look like it was open for 35 years the day I opened it, so I went through all my scrapbooks, pulled things out, framed them, and then I started going around buying and collecting things, and I got to be a nationally known collector. I go to these national shows and people know me and they call me when they have something good. All I wanted to do was decorate a restaurant, and then it just got out of hand.
Well, if you're a sports enthusiast and you want to go to a museum, I mean literally a museum that has everything about sports, whether it be high school, college, professional, you name the sport, it's Chappell's up north.
Everybody in the memorabilia business knew me, because I bought from them, and they were friends of mine, and they traveled the country, and they always said that mine was the best of all. Somebody else would pick up on it, and Sports Illustrated picked me one of the top 25, and they never were here. All of a sudden, I'm on list of being the top in the country. There's a book came out, it was the top 40 sports bars in the country, and I'm in it, and I never heard or saw about them before.
Well, Jim Chappell's restaurant in North Kansas City is unique. I'd never seen anything like it. And you walk into the place, and I wasn't there too long ago with a friend of mine, and that's for he's looking around, and he said, my goodness, what is this?
I show him the World Series trophy. I got through Charlie Finley. There's more than one World Series trophy, and that's one of four, I think. I like the two Olympic torches. I like the gold glove. I got four or five Babe Ruth autographs in here, some with Lou Gehrig and some by himself, but there's a letter that he was trying to buy a shotgun, and he wrote this letter, and I think he signed it Herman Ruth. I have to check on that. Oh, excuse me. Oh. Give me dinner. I would do that over. Well, first off, I want to enjoy their meal because that's what the business I'm in. But the other thing is I want them to connect with something. Like I ask everybody where they went to high school. I ask you where you went to high school. And then I try to find that helmet or something to do with where they went to high school or college or something to connect with them.
I never thought that, you know, a Rutgers University helmet would be out here in Big 12 country, but he had it on display right there.
Okay. And this, my friend, is your helmet.
Yeah, that's the current helmet.
Yeah.
It went back to this design. This is a beautiful one.
Yeah, that is. I like that. Yeah, and boy, they have some great teams.
You've got just about every team covered.
There's a really interesting story about the helmets, and that's the first thing you notice when you walk in.
USA Today did a story on the top 50 sports bars in the country. They did one for every state, and they did even from Missouri. But the guy from Glendale, Arizona, he's on the front page holding two helmets. He's on the front page, and he's up there because he said he had 1,000 helmets.
Jim, being as competitive as he is, decided that, you know, he didn't want to be outdone by this guy in Arizona.
I said, I'm getting 1,000 helmets. I took off to get 1,000 helmets that day. And within a week, boom, now I'm up to 300.
I've been to Pittsburgh, Parkersburg, Gravelburg, Colorado, Ellensburg, Rexburg, Vicksburg, Eldorado, Larimore, Atmore, Havistaw, Chattanooga, Chasta, Nebraska, Alaska, Opelika, Baraboo, Waterloo, Kalamazoo, Kansas City, Sioux City, Cedar City, Dodge City, what a pity.
And I call everybody, get a helmet, and I search for helmets. I got all the Division I college helmets. I got all the pro helmets. But the fun helmets are the high school helmets I have from all over the country.
When you look on the ceiling, it's, you know, Jim has made his point that, you know, anything you can do, I can do better.
So anybody asks me how many helmets I have 1,001. That's one more than that guy in Glendale. It started out as a bar and grill, and then it became a restaurant and lounge, and now it's a restaurant and sports museum.
Chief's Kingdom is brought to you by Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. And the University of Kansas Hospital, the official healthcare provider of the Chiefs.
I pull up to the game, and all I smell is barbecue. I see everybody with their jerseys on, just out tailgating. Everybody's yelling, honking their horns in their cars, offering me barbecue on the way before the game. I mean, everybody's just friendly. I mean, it's just a wonderful city to play football in, man. Our fans are good in the stadium and out of the stadium. They just treat everybody with respect, and you gotta love that. This city is built like a family. This is a great place to be, and I love it.
I really love the sports lab. It's really fun.
I burned a lot of energy in a fun way.
Have you heard of the Chief Sports Lab powered by Blue KC? It's an interactive environment where kids can learn the essentials of healthy living while having fun. Located inside Arrowhead Stadium, the Sports Lab is a perfect location for field trips in groups of 20 or more. With each visit, your group will receive a behind-the-scenes tour of Arrowhead Stadium. Schedule your visit to the Sports Lab today. Go to goarrowhead.com and click on tours.
When you think of Hall of Fame, you think of Cooperstown, Canton, or even the Chiefs Hall of Honor. But just north of the Missouri River lies a different kind of hall, where you can take in history and a bite.
Now, I remember that story you guys told me, or Grigsby, I guess, told me. This is back when the Chiefs first came, and I know you all heard this before. When he first came to town, they have the Chiefs send these guys out to talk. They probably did you too. So Stram and Grigsby are going out some small town like Payola or somewhere to talk, and they're driving out there. Stram, of course, turns to Grigsby and says, are these guys paying us any money? And Grigsby says, well, I don't know. He says, they're just sending us out there. So they go out there and they speak, and this guy walks over and gives Grigsby an envelope after it's over. Grigsby opens up and looks in, and there's $400. Hey, not bad. So he takes the 100, sticks in his pocket, puts the envelope back. Stram comes up to him and he says, hey, did they pay us anything? He says, well, he says, I don't know. They gave him this envelope. Here, you can take it. So he gives him the envelope. They're riding back in the car. Grigsby says, hey, Hank, did they pay us anything? He says, well, yeah. He says, they gave us $200.
How would I describe Chapels? I would say it's a warm and cozy place. It looks busy just from all the stuff on the wall. It's just a lot of activity when you go in. And there's a lot of good things to see in here, but people they come to see the memorabilia, but they come back for the food. And that's evidenced by the fact that I have return business all the time. I have people eat here every day.
I come in anywhere from 2 to 5 days a week. I had almost all of their food on their menu, and it's excellent. There is no sports place in the United States like this one.
I do love my customers, and I love talking to them. I love to hear what they have to say more than anything. They tell the greatest stories, too.
Bobby, does that ring a bell?
Bobby Bell should have been an entertainer. He is funny, he is likable, and he takes over a room when he comes in.
Now, lady, just walk right in front of the camera. You got to sign a release now.
He comes to my restaurant, and he'll walk up and start talking to customers, and as they're sitting there eating, and they're kind of in awe of the fact that it's Bobby Bell. You were here about 3 months ago?
No.
2 months? Oh, I went.
I was here a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, you and Bobby Jr.
I told you couldn't remember.
But what's funny is he'll grab some menus, and he'll start, he says, how many are going to be? And he'll say, would you like in here? And he'll go see them. And so he becomes my maitre d' just by walking in. But he's all over the place. He's just a great personality.
Who's first here? Are you coming to eat?
We certainly are.
Are you coming to eat too?
Yes.
That's the idea.
And Lenny Dawson is, I can't say enough good about Lenny Dawson. He truly is Lenny the Cool. He walked into the room. Well, he doesn't walk in the room. He appears in the room. And he doesn't look around. He kind of sees all. There's just an era about him that just is coolness. And that's, I think he is Lenny the Cool.
Over the years, Jim developed a great relationship with Bill Grigsby. You could tell that Jim and Bill spent a lot of time together. And Jim often said that, Bill was really his mouthpiece, I guess, for Kansas City and kind of his PR guy, if you will. And talking with Bill, back, it's probably about 2006, 2007, when we talked about Jim, you could tell that Jim was pretty special to Bill as well.
Bill Grigsby, I have to say, he was one of the nicest guys I ever knew. He did more for me and the restaurant that he didn't have to do. Wherever he went, he promoted Chapel's restaurant, and he promoted me.
And today, thank you, Jimmy Chapel. Jimmy's got a great sports bar north of the river. You want to go and see all that great memorabilia. He doesn't call it actually a sports bar. He's upgraded. He calls it a restaurant and lounge. It's Chapel's restaurant and lounge. Go ahead and see the memorabilia. So go to the Chapel's and enjoy yourself.
Who couldn't like Tony DiPardo? Mr. Music. Tony was another super guy. That's one thing you say about the Chiefs. Every time you mention a name here, is I'm just going to start off, he's a great guy. But that's the truth. They're all great guys, But he was a good entertainer, and he played his a horn in here a couple of times to blast the place out.
We're number one.
Oh, don't you forget it, mister.
We're the champions of the world.
We come from Kansas City, and we haven't any pity.
When we wreck 'em, they are permanently wrecked.
Throughout the years, Chapel's has been visited from big names A to Z. It's truly anybody's home, from average Joes to famous ones. It is a sight to be seen.
Jim is almost always at the restaurant from the time it opens to the time it closes. He leaves for maybe an hour or so a day. We had a meeting off-site, so he left one day, and he got a phone call. And it was somebody at the front said, Lamar Hunt's here. And he has some people with him. And Jim said, well, I'm on my way back. I'll be there in 10 minutes' time. I'm on my way. And she said, well, don't worry about it. He's already given a tour of the restaurant. Well, come to find out, Lamar Hunt, who also loved Chapel's, was walking these guys around. He was given a tour of the restaurant.
Lamar Hunt is, as everybody would tell you, probably the most unassuming guy in the world. He was so common and down to earth, and he was so nice, and he was so talented. I mean, how many people can start a new football league? I mean, that takes a little talent.
You know, Jim has so many great stories. There are some that he'll tell pretty much anybody. And there are certain, certain comedians have there are jokes they like to tell. Jim Chapel has the stories he likes to tell.
Like Lamar Hunt, he lost $1 million his first year, and they went and told his dad, H.L. Hunt, they said, your son just lost $1 million up there in that football league. He says, well, he says, another 300 years, that boy's going to be broke.
I've heard many different numbers, and all of them are overly flattering numbers, by the way.
What the Russians done for me in connection with the Kansas City Chiefs is that it gives me a venue for them to come to me. When I go to the game, they're down the field, you know. But when I have a restaurant, they come in and they want to talk to the owner. I love the Chiefs, win, lose, or draw. I love them, but this gives me a venue to do that.
When I hear the number 50 here in Kansas City, and I was here in the very first year, when the franchise came here, that tells me that I've been here a long time, a half a century. The Kansas City Chiefs belong to the fans. You know, they're the ones that show up. They're the ones that cheer. It isn't just on Sunday afternoon at Arrowhead Stadium when people come out to see an exciting football game. It's the Kansas City Chiefs who believe that, hey, this is 50 years we've been involved. We were theirs. We belong to them. When you win, everybody's a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs, yes. But what about when you're not winning? You know, how strong is the feeling then? There has been loyalty with so many of these fans. Kansas City is my home. It's been my home since the team arrived here in 1963, and I wouldn't want to live anyplace else.
You know, Jim developed a great relationship with the Chiefs. They've had a lot of reunions here over the years. The 69 Chiefs have been here several times as a group.
I love the Chiefs, win, lose, or draw. I love them. You're in the game the whole season. It's the great organization, entertaining the fans, and that's what the Chiefs do.
The Chiefs are on the warpath.
Go Chiefs, go!
The Chiefs are on the warpath.
Go Chiefs, go! Thunder down the field and lay them low.
Go Chiefs, go! Go Chiefs, go!
Otis Taylor ought to be in the Hall of Fame. He was a great wide receiver. Well, I was there, and Dawson throws this ball to Otis Taylor, and I'm sitting right there to see this, and it's a famous catch. The Washington Redskin had one arm, and he reached up with one hand and caught it with one hand, and there I'm sitting and watching that, and they're still talking about that catch today.
Otis Taylor, great move!
For Jim's entire life, he has been given much for his love of sports and his love for the Kansas City Chiefs. From filling his boyhood scrapbook to channeling an entrepreneur's dream, sports have inspired his way of life. But that wasn't enough. He yearned to give back to one of his heroes.
And again, when you talk about people who have a great relationship with Jim Chappell, Len Dawson's one of them.
He's a guy that introduced me to the high school Hall of Fame.
Jim's wife, Gina, was working for the Federation at the time, and Jim found out that Len wasn't in the Hall of Fame.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
So he found out from his wife, Gina, that, well, you have to be nominated by somebody from your home state. So Jim found somebody in Ohio who was willing to, you know, nominate Len Dawson from the state of Ohio.
Well, he didn't know me from high school, which I thought, man, that's, you know, that's something very special for somebody to take their time to be able to do that and willing to do that. And so I've been beholden to him for since that particular time, and I have to go down there and eat my lunch.
But when you talk to Jim, he is as proud of that as anything else that he's done, probably. If you were to take pictures of Chappell's and send it, you know, throw it out on the Facebook or Twitter or whatever and say, you know, where is this place? You know, a lot of people would say it's probably in New York, it's in Chicago, it's wherever, but very few would say it's in Kansas City.
For 50 years, the Chiefs have called Kansas City home. And with her football team, the city of Fountains has grown, matured, unified this kingdom of the heartland. Together, they have formed a sense of self, a sense of identity, a sense of being a part of something bigger than anything they could ever imagine. Whether you come from Missouri, Kansas, Maine, or Keokuk, Iowa, we know where you're going, and you should stop on by Chappell's along the way. Jim will always welcome you, but not on Sunday, because you won't find him at the office. Chiefs Kingdom is brought to you by Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. And the University of Kansas Hospital, the official healthcare provider of the Chiefs. The Chiefs Kingdom is a symphony of moments, images, connections, and each snapshot tells a story in her adventure.
Ed Buddy, I used to tell a story that he worked for Coke and I had Pepsi in here. And so he came in and says, Jim, he says, you know I'm with Coke now. And he said, I see you're at Pepsi. He says, this is a better product. He sold me on the idea of the better product. And I said, you know, I don't jump from pillar to post. And I said, Pepsi hadn't done anything wrong. And so he waits a month or so and he comes back in. He says, well, Jim, he says, you didn't buy it on the product side. And he says, we're friends. He says, you need to switch over because you and I are friends. We're buddies. So why don't you go to Coke now that we're friends? I said, you know, Ed, we are friends. I want to stay friends, but I don't just jump from pillar to post. So another month he comes in. He sits down and slams his hand down, looks at me. He says, Jim, he says, I tried to sell you on the product side. He says, I tried to sell you on friendship. He says, now it's down to this. He says, I'm going to beat the hell out of you if you don't go to Coke. I don't know how to say this, but I'm with Coke today.
Next on Chiefs Kingdom.
I'm a Chiefs man till they put me in the ground. That's just a fact.
It's the best smelling parking lot in the NFL. It was the only place I'd go where I saw people wearing Chiefs pants.
I don't take Raiders.
The Raiders, they should just drop out of the NFL.
Oh God, I'm just rambling now. Mom, come on, Mom, I'm on Chiefs television.
Toss power trap.